Let me ask you a question. How much time have you spent seeking out self-help? How many books have you bought and maybe even actually read? Gurus have you listened to? Episodes of Oprah have you watched? Cosmo or Maxim magazines have you flipped through? Seeking a change in your life you desperately want and not really attaining it. All of these things could work, yet in most cases, they don't. That's the paradox of life. My name is Rayanna. We will uncover and ask the tricky questions, unabashed by political correctness. I may not have all the answers, but we will dig deep. We can laugh about the silliness of people and complain about the ridiculousness of life. One thing I've learned, you can't be all things to everyone, but I know for sure that you must be true to yourself. Welcome to the Just Be You podcast. So first, you might want to know, who am I? Well, I'm just like you. I've been bruised and broken. I've had joy and ecstasy. And just when I think I'm getting the hang of this thing called life, a fork in the road appears. Boom, right back to zero. From singlehood to relationships, from kids to careers, spirituality to technology, losing it all to head in the clouds. I am just like you. And this is the missing manual to life, the user handbook, the secret handshake. This is your soft place to land. This is clarity. This is curiosity. This is where mistakes will be applauded and where life's questions will always be celebrated. And where the answer to all the hardest questions is possibly to just be yourself. Be authentic. Be joy-filled. Be love. And be open to the possibility of change. Let's talk about phones, specifically cell phones. Do you know if you're eligible for an upgrade yet? I know I am, in about 3 months, 2 days, and 7 hours. You know why I know that? We live in an age where you have to upgrade your phone at least every 2 years, or it breaks down on you. I know this for a fact with my Apple iPhone. As soon as the new models come out, mine begins its steady decline. And while, sure, it continues to function, it certainly creaks and whines of old age after 1.47 years. Prompting me to immediately check out my AT&T early upgrade status. This is called planned obsolescence. You know what that means? That means they planned it. Inevitably, I have to get a new one because the map app will start sending me to the wrong side of San Francisco or wherever I'm at, and I will have a full-scale meltdown in the car with my daughter while trying to find that special place we're going to have dinner on our way to see Wicked. Of course, we ended up eating at Subway, and she couldn't have cared a bit. But I was about to break my phone. Stupid map app. I have a teenage daughter, and she, in her lifetime, has already had 10 or 11 cell phones. Honestly, more than a few, were and still are perfectly good, functioning cell phones. They just weren't cool anymore. And you know what? I want my kid to feel cool, because that makes me feel like a cool mom. So what is this thing we do, this upgrade mentality? We upgrade our phones, our laptops, the memory in our laptops. We upgrade our cars, our houses, our jobs, and you better believe it, our clothes. I read a blog post a while back on Huffington Post about fast fashion. Did you know they have created quite literally 52 planned micro seasons? The fashion industry wants us to feel frumpy and out of style every week so that we will buy new over and over again. So cheers to our little inner fashionista being totally duped. That $300 Michael Kors purse I loved so much last month leaves me feeling out of style and less like a woman when I catch a glimpse of the new colors and styles on display. But I promise you, my purse is still perfectly fine, and they call that perceived obsolescence. You know, we used to be able to update our wardrobe once a year in August. It was called school shopping. Now my daughter feels like her clothes are stupid and embarrassing before Labor Day. It's that darned perceived obsolescence. And they did it to us on purpose. The advertising industry did it with every commercial we watch. And the impact of this way of thinking is so corrosive. It of itself continues to deepen and exacerbate the problem. We have begun to feel as if the things we buy make us happy, really happy. And then when the perceived value of them drops, we have to buy a new one to feel good again, to fill that space inside of us. Why is it that consumerism has taken all of us hostage? How have we bought into buying more, new, bigger, faster, and frankly, buying practically the same thing over and over? The advertising industry is so powerful that we just hand it over. We hand our identity right to the merchant, and they sell us crap again. You know, I've spent years trying to fill some hole with stuff, and then finding myself still unsatisfied, I throw it away, which, by the way, waste is a whole different topic I could ad lib on for quite a while, but I'll refrain and instead give you just one fun fact from a video on the cycle of production and consumerism called The Story of Stuff. And they quote the report Global Environmental Issues by Francis Harris with a statistic that has me just jaw dropping. The US has 5% of the world's population, but consumes 30% of the world's resources and creates 30% of the world's waste. Seriously? Yes. So that means all that stuff you bought that broke that you threw in the garbage can. Okay. Anyway, back to other stuff. So I'm buying stuff and I'm buying my daughter stuff. And then in a fleeting moment of clarity, I realize, nope, didn't work. I'm still unhappy. She's still unhappy. It's such a trick. You know, with my iPhone, I always get buyer's remorse because every time I finally cave in and get the new one, or because my plan is finally eligible for the upgrade, 3 weeks later, I kid you not, 3 freaking weeks later, the brand new, bigger, faster, better one is released, just in time for me to decide mine's not good enough anymore. And the subsequent year and a half I spend pining away wishing I had the new one like my friends, like the commercials say I should, like maybe my pictures would be oh, so much better if I had the new one, that I've actually begun to resent my new phone, sometimes even before I get it, just knowing I have to get it, knowing that this is the cycle that I'm stuck in. I already know my phone is going to break down. So the next time you're thinking about a new purse or a new relationship, take stock of what you already have and ask yourself. Really ask yourself, take a look at the reason why, not the surface reason. It's not for more megapixels. The real reason. Ask yourself why. Why is it that we ascribe to this idea that we need something outside of ourselves to make us feel better? Why do we feel like we have to upgrade in order to get what we want? You know, we're teaching that to our children. My mom did. She said the public school near us wasn't good enough, so we upgraded. And I was taught to do that in my job as well. I read a story a long time ago about the average length of time a person should stay in one position. And did you know the number they rattled off was a mere 3 years? That the longest you should stay at a company and be loyal is 3 years. And that after a year, you should begin looking for a better opportunity. You know, I've read other studies that say the only way to advance your career now is to move around in your field, leveraging yourself for a higher salary as you go. You know, less than 100 years ago, this wasn't the case. People worked for and retired from the very same company, able to depend on advancing, able to get loyalty with loyalty, or being content not to, and just to punch the clock. A lot has changed in the last 100 years. You know, we used to, as a family, purchase a car. That was a big deal. You kept that car in your family, proudly owning it. Less than 100 years ago, couples used to look on and lust after others in relationships. Occasionally, one relationship might actually get the big D, you know, divorce. But it would scare the crap out of the whole town, and you would get shunned and shut out, and your friends would leave you. And then all of a sudden, it stopped scaring people as much. And it was part of this women's liberation that we can get a divorce too. It's not just the men. And now it's become as if it's as simple as waiting for your plan to get upgraded. What I see as a real problem here is that we as people yearn to improve and make grander scales of our lives. And it is with greed and condescension and this idea that somehow we deserve better without the cost and effort of working at it. So we've gone from committing our life to someone forever to thinking we can get a divorce if something better comes along. You know, we can upgrade because don't you know I deserve it? I shouldn't have to work at it at all. Kind of feels like maybe as a society, as a culture, we've shifted into this place where we think the world owes us something. How arrogant and self-centered we have become to think that we can just upgrade our relationships, play with people's emotions, that cell phones or careers or labels are who we are. They are our identity. That I am a fashionista if I buy a new piece of clothing every week to stay hip. hip. Does anybody even say that anymore? Well, I say it. Here's some tips that I think will help us combat this cultural problem that we're facing, this upgrade mentality. First of all, let's declutter. You know, have you walked around your house lately or your room and taken stock of the stuff you own and never ever use? Now, I'm not saying you need to be an extremist and become a minimalist or anything, although I am beginning to feel a little bit more like a minimalist than some of my friends, but really take stock. What is it that you use regularly and what is just taking up space? What are you buying and wasting money and time and energy and space on? Another tip is buy for quality over quantity. The fast fashion article on HuffPost that I was talking about, they talked about how when you buy stuff cheap, it's made to break down on you. It's supposed to split the seam. It's supposed to become frayed and not look good after 4 or 5 wears. It was planned that way. So therefore, if you buy better stuff, you won't have to buy it as often. Also, let's buy on purpose. And I'm not against consumerism. I love stuff. I love electronics. I'm an Apple person. I love technology. But I buy on purpose. I buy because that thing is going to add value to my life. I don't buy on autopilot. And autopilot, I mean, I have a friend who needs weekly mall air. They literally feel better after spending money that they might not even have on things that they probably didn't even need because they were buying into the temporary fix that consumerism has sold us. Here's another tip. Take time to appreciate your relationships and your friendships. Really consciously cultivate the attitude of giving instead of taking. How often are you going to the well to give instead of just to take? Also, you hate your job? You want to change jobs a lot? Well, how about first invest in yourself? Keep your mind engaged in improving, and your job will probably feel less awful also. If you need to switch jobs, then go for it. Just remember, there's a cost and benefit scale for all actions, job related or not, and lack of action you take in life also holds the same cost and benefit analysis. Make sure you're looking at both sides of that scale and take responsibility for where you might be over-exaggerating or focusing on what you don't want instead of what you do want. And here's one of the most important pieces. Teach your children. Teach, teach, teach. Did you know that actually means live, live, live? Stoic philosophers were big on living as a true nature of the study and practice of philosophy. Be that lesson you need to learn. Show those failures to your children and your teenagers and your grown children. Be the growth and success and mastery you want them to emulate. And know that the best life lived is the one that is on purpose. Live on purpose. The question I really have today is about value. What value does this thing you want to buy add to your life? What value does it allow you to add to someone else's life? And does the value give you the connectedness, the joy, and the sustained wholeness that you're seeking? Isn't that what we really want? To be valued, to have value, and to add value? And isn't that the best bargain or upgrade we could ask for? Thanks for joining me. Just Be You podcast is written and produced by Rayanna Morrow and co-produced and edited by Dana Buckler of Hidden Productions in Ocala, Florida. You can always contact me with questions or comments at justbeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Links to all of our social media are available on this episode's show notes. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and or leave a review on whatever podcast platform you use to listen. Once again, Thank you for listening to the Just Be You podcast.